Thank you. There's a Rashi that actually comes up more than once in Chumash. That discusses the issue of what would have happened had Moshe Rabbeinu not done whatever it is that he did wrong with regard to the rock. I'm not going to get into the question of what he did wrong. That's the discussion in the Rishonim. Shimon Hamorim spoke a little too harshly to them. Some say because he hit the rock. Whatever the... I'm okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Some say because he hit the rock. There is discussion as to what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong. I'm not going to get into that discussion because machlokas Rishonim. But there does not seem to be any machlokas as to what would have happened had Moshe Rabbeinu not done whatever it was that he did wrong. That does not seem to be a discussion. Pasuk tells us that it was lack of emunah, some sort of lack of emunah that Moshe Rabbeinu had, and Rashi tells us, the Chazal, that had Moshe Rabbeinu not done the chait, Klal Yisrael would have made a kal v'chomer. Anybody remember seeing such a Rashi? Yeah? What did you find? Tell me what the kal v'chomer would have been.
I think it was something like if a rock, when spoken to, something as obstinate as a rock, or I don't know, something like a rock is spoken to and listens, how much more kal v'chomer we, Hashem's people, should listen when Moshe speaks to us.
The rock is no stone, isn't it?
The rock, which does not eat nor drink, meaning it has no needs. And it doesn't have schar, and it doesn't have onesh. If it does anything good, it doesn't get rewarded. If it does anything wrong, it doesn't get punished. Listens to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So kal v'chomer us. That's the kal v'chomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, had you not done whatever it is that you did, Klal Yisrael would have made a kal v'chomer. And that's the kal v'chomer. Madach, kal v'chomer is always start with the madach, right? Madach, the rock, doesn't have any needs, doesn't win, doesn't lose if it listens to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or it doesn't. Listens to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, the rock listens. Kal v'chomer us. What's the kal v'chomer to us? Because we do have needs, and we do get schar, and we do have onesh. Who's going to make that kal v'chomer? Klal Yisrael is going to make that kal v'chomer. Any problem with that, guys?
Yeah, rock isn't good for you. Huh.
So, a 10th grader in America could ask a pircha on that kal v'chomer. The first pircha that you'll ask on such a kal v'chomer is, what about the bechira factor? The yitzhara factor? And even if I'll say, you know what, you can answer that. You can answer. Where can you answer it from? Give a teretz. What's the teretz you give?
It's a
mashal. Slow. If you call it just a mashal, you make the question. You make what I'm about to say even better. I don't want to make it as good as that. Let's say you go back to Maisa Bereishis. What does it say about Maisa Bereishis? That the trees did not conform. What was the original instruction given to the trees?
The trees
appropriate.
That the tree should taste like its fruit, and the tree disobeyed. Right. Trees disobeyed. Why did the trees disobey? Because they were afraid that people would eat the trees without waiting for the fruit, in which case men would become extinct because they would eat all the trees and they wouldn't wait for the fruit. So trees disobeyed. So you can say, from that medrash, you see that even inanimate objects have some element of bechira. They can disobey. So you could use it. Okay. fetch out a little bit of an answer to the Kal V'chomer. What would be the defense for the Kal V'chomer? It's not like the rock has absolutely no Bechira. You still say, yeah, but how can you compare the rock's Yetzirah to our Yetzirah, rock's Bechira to our Bechira, to our Kal V'chomer? But you know what? I'm going to go a step further. Not only don't I know what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong, but I'm going to accept the Kal V'chomer. I don't have a Hezbollah in the Kal V'chomer. I can't explain the Kal V'chomer. I'm going to accept the Kal V'chomer. Rashi says that there's such a Kal V'chomer. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that there's such a Kal V'chomer. I'm going to accept the Kal V'chomer. Not an easy Kal V'chomer to swallow. And who's going to make this Kal V'chomer? All of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael is going to make this Kal V'chomer. Even if I accept the Kal V'chomer, I'll be a good boy, I'll believe the Chazal, I'll accept the Kal V'chomer. I then ask you a question. Who would make such a Kal V'chomer? Did it occur to any of you to make such a Kal V'chomer? The only ones that we only made the Kal V'chomer because we saw it in Rashi, and we had a pircha on it. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that everybody, the whole Klal Yisrael, is going to make this Kal V'chomer. I can't find one person who would make such a Kal V'chomer. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that all Klal Yisrael is going to make such a Kal V'chomer. So picture the scene, right? The scene, they're all standing there with their buckets, pitchers. It's been 3 days, they haven't had any water. Children are plotzing. Forget the cattle that's dying. The men themselves are enormously thirsty. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up with his stick in hand, speaks to the rock. The rock gives all of us water, right? We got the scene? That's the scene, right? He got it right. Speaks to the rock. Rock gives plentiful water. They all go to put their pitchers into the water. Bring home water. No. They do that, but they're thinking. What are they thinking? Gee. Shh. Madach, the rock. Kal V'chomer, me. So all going home with a whole renewed zrizus in Avodas Hashem, and then somebody says, where did you get that new energy for your Avodas Hashem? Says, what do you mean? The rock. Kal V'chomer. And not one person in Klal Yisrael did that. Kadosh Baruch Hu was made to Moshe Rabbeinu that had he not done whatever it was that he did wrong, they all would have done that. That's it. That makes sense, right? That follows? That's what we would have done too, right? Instead of that.
Not possibly mean, not a Kal V'chomer like we make Kal V'chomers in the Beis Midrash.
Hello.
But a Kal V'chomer that's like subconsciously would happen inside their heads. Like, they see miracles happening in front of them. Oh. Maybe it would be like an automatic thing.
Baruch Hashem. I was mechav into this. You know what happens automatically or subconsciously? Thank you. Had it been that they sang Shira, afterwards they did sing Shira about the rock. They did. There's Ali Be'er. And Ulah, Be'er Chafarua Sarim, they did sing Shira about it. So had it been that they sang Shira, great thank you to Hashem for the wonderful miracle that they saw, I'm with you. And to the extent that that encourages a person to do Avodas Hashem, then I'm with you. That clearly is not what Rashi is saying. Clearly Rashi is saying, he's not saying, we are so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the water that we want to do his Rasa. It's clearly not. It is the rock, Kal V'chomer us. So as unconscious as you want to make the Kal V'chomer, it's not the thank you. What you're referring to is, I think correctly, and they do lemaisa sing Shira, is the thank you. Or even, hey, dude, that's amazing. I haven't seen a rock do that in a long time. You know, that would have been, and any of those would have been fine. That's not what Chazal is saying. They see it, and they make a Kal V'chomer.
I wasn't saying thank you so much. I was saying it's a Kal V'chomer, but not a Kal V'chomer that
we're going to
not in an intellectual way. more in the heart. Like it's just automatic, like it's a kal v'chomer. It really is a real kal v'chomer. But they didn't look at the thing and say, ah, the rock, and so kal v'chomer us. They did that, but they did it without thinking about it. It was like just like an automatic subconscious kal v'chomer that would have made them understand much better than if he hit the rock.
But what would have made them, what it would make them do is feel closer to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not more obedient. Where does this obedience factor come into the story? Where's this unconscious automatic obedience factor? Grateful. Closer. Warmer. But obedient? What has this got to do with obedience? This has to do with God's absolute love, boundless love for us. Look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. That all could have happened unconsciously. Where's the obedience have to do with anything? That's the nekuda that the Chazal are emphasizing, that they drew a lesson. What they went home with was more obedience, more of a salute, more of a sense of I feel increased obligation to listen to every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said at Har Sinai. I feel an increased obligation because look at the rock. So again, if they felt an increased warmth, and that warmth led to some more obligation, or you know, if Hashem loves me like that, then I want to do what Hashem wishes, you know, because we have such a wonderful love relationship, and He gives me water, I want to do what He says. But the Rashi is very specific. We have needs, the rock doesn't have needs. We have schar and onesh, the rock does not have schar and onesh. You know, that's not just a general sense of we're so warmly disposed towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so we want to serve Him.
It's Lamdis.
It's a cheshbon. The question is, who makes such a cheshbon? Who does that? And the answer, Rabosai, is a very, very important yesod. The answer is somebody who takes total responsibility. Somebody who takes complete responsibility for their own emotional state is the one who does this. Let me explain what I mean. If I've decided that I'm going to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if that's my decision, then I'm going to look for ways to be mizariz myself. But if I'm going to wait for anybody or anything to get me excited about serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then the rock will do nothing for me. Absolutely nothing. Listen, follow this carefully, Rosa. If I decide, let's say for a moment, that somebody does a miracle, and you hear a miracle story, and it gives you a boost in your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. On the percentages, who was doing the work, you or the miracle?
The miracle.
The miracle was doing more than zero. The miracle was doing a certain percentage of the work. To the extent that the miracle is doing a certain percentage of the work, I'm not doing that percentage of the work. An independent person decides what he's going to feel and goes there. Nothing else. Doesn't leave anybody else to do the work. An independent person gets inspiration from the plastic liner in the garbage can because he's not leaving any of the burden of his inspiration to anything other than himself. Therefore, he will draw inspiration from the plastic liner of the garbage can. He's not sitting with his arms folded waiting for anything to inspire him. He's already decided where he's going to go emotionally. So therefore he uses whatever tools he can to get to where he's decided he's going to go. He's not waiting for a miracle to rev him up. He's using the events of his life to go where he's decided he's going to go. But he's made the decision in advance. So if you have a person who has totally decided internally on his own, I am going to always be increasing my zrizus, being mizariz myself to avodas Hashem. That's what I'm going to do. Then as soon as he sees the rock responding to Moshe's voice, what's his first thought? Oh, I can use that. Kal chomer.
That's a miracle, then.
Oh, so Chazal are very specific. Moshe Rabbeinu is being told, you should know, you think that they need the miracle, and therefore you revved up the miracle a little bit. You yelled at them a little bit. Maybe you were a little harsh for them. You thought, what's the story here? What's the storyline? The storyline is, we're going to give them a really good show. We're going to give them a really good show. That's going to inspire them. And they'll serve Hashem. What the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them is, that's not the storyline. The storyline is, these are adults. And they are ready to take responsibility for their own feelings. You just talk to the rock, and they'll draw the Kal V'chomer because they're taking responsibility for their own feelings. And Moshe Rabbeinu assumes that it's the same people that he spoke to at the Yam Suf, where he had to tell them exactly how to feel. Don't worry, Kindelach. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. I know it's Mitzrayim. I know it's the Yam. Don't be afraid. Hashem will take care of them. And the most that they can rev up on their own is to say thank you afterwards. How's Yashir? That they can do. They can say thank you. That's okay. It's not a zero. But the miracle was doing all the work. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, I want you to know that Klal Yisrael is ready to take over responsibility. And taking over responsibility is what is necessary for them to be in Am Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is going to be Al Pi Derech HaTeva. And if it's going to be Al Pi Derech HaTeva, that means there's not going to be miracles revving them up. It means they're going to have to get excited about the fact that the peppers ripen. But the peppers are not going to do the job. The peppers are not going to do a song and a dance. They're going to take that responsibility. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, you should know, I'm telling you, they're ready to do it. They are ready. This is the chapter of their transition from their being children, who you have to excite them, to being adults, who are taking complete responsibility for their own feelings, actions, and thoughts. So talk to the rock. Just talk to it. And they'll make the Kal V'chomer. They're not going to get into the miracle. The miracle is not what's going to get them going. They're going to make a Kal V'chomer because they're taking personal responsibility, and that's what's going to allow them to have Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu looks at them. These guys, they're going to take personal responsibility? Mistama, I have to rev up the miracle a little bit. They're not ready for that yet. I'm going to rev up the miracle. If you rev up the miracle, so then they'll be inspired. And what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say to Moshe Rabbeinu? You couldn't believe me. You couldn't believe me that their adulthood was ready to emerge. Couldn't believe it. Well, it's very understandable why Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have believed that. He's the one who knows how babyish they are. He's the one who knows how little responsibility they seem to have taken for their emotions. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows hearts, I'm telling you, it may not happen today or tomorrow, but in the next week, in the next month, they're all going to be thinking about the fact that the rock responded, and they're going to all be mizaris themselves. Say the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Im ein ani li, mi li. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, on the spot, Im ani lo azareis es atzmi, mi li lizarzeni. If I'm not going to rev myself up, who can rev myself up? Ki zirus acherim zirus hu lefisho. Because the rev up of others lasts for how long? It's in my business, right? 50 minutes. Zirus acherim zirus hu lefisho. Somebody else revs you up, gives you a razzle dazzle shear, gives you a, you know, shows you the world, opens up everything, just turns your world upside down on its ear and revs you up. Zirus acherim, zirus hu lefisho. Im ein ani li, if I don't take absolute responsibility for deciding where it is that I'm going with my feelings, mi li v'zarzeini. So what good is it going to do to somebody else going to rev me up? All I'm going to need then is going to get addicted to being revved up. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe. Now they're going to have to go through thousands of years to pick up what they could have picked up at this moment. Because they're going to have to get to a point where I'm going to pull out all the stops and pull out all the supports and pull out all the razzle-dazzle and pull out all the revving up and leave them lying there on the ground in a desolate exile of thousands of years. And there will be some individuals who will say, I see the Yad Hashem here. And I see the Yad Hashem here. This is Taka Mechayiv me. This is obligates me. I have to pick myself up and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And most people are going to get lost in the shuffle. Most people are going to say, so why did he do that? So how come that? Well, can you explain that? And why is that going on? And what's going on here? And confusion. And turmoil. And upside down. And backwards. And there'll be a few individuals who say, wait a second. I can use this. I can use this. Oh, think about this. This is the Mizar is me. This pushes me to Avodas Hashem. Somebody else look at it and said, what pushes you to Avodas Hashem? And the answer is, you guys, you're not in the same page as I am. You're asking me what pushes me to Avodas Hashem. That means you're asking for the event to do the work. That doesn't push me to Avodas Hashem. But wait a second, what premise are you starting with? You're starting with the premise that the event needs to push me to Avodas Hashem? Or you're starting with the premise, I am going towards zeros in Avodas Hashem. That's where I'm going. Whatever I can use, that's what I'm going to use. This one inspires himself with a chazal, and this one inspires himself with looking at somebody else learning Torah, and this one inspires himself from amazing how much effort was put into the making the plastic liners for the garbage cans.
So, if it was Moshe who thought they needed more razzle dazzle,
yes,
surely it's more razzle dazzle by speaking to the rock than hitting the rock.
Razzle dazzle in this case means banging them over the head. Klal Yisrael was used to miracles. Miracles were every single day of the week. Miracles was not the idea. The idea was that he needed to beat them over the head. Shimun Hamorim, hit the rock. Guys, listen! Listen good! Because if you don't, there's a stick! Listen good! Oh, there's a stick. Oh, yeah, I get nervous about sticks. I get nervous if you tell me I'm going to get punished and I'm going to see Gehenna. I get nervous about sticks.
So I thought the whole thing that what you were saying was based upon me is sort of a mount of revelation in terms of, you said, oh, they'll have to wait for thousands of years and going to pull out all the stops. You know, they'll have to, you know, they won't have the miracles. So how can you sort of then turn around and say that in fact, like, they were so used to miracles that wasn't actually the thing which inspired them, and they have to grow up and grow out of having the miracles? It's sort of the other way around. Isn't all that what you're saying is based on the fact that the miracle is more inspiring and fancy than hitting
rock? It's not mashma from the Chazal that was the issue. It's not mashma from the Chazal that you should have done a bigger miracle and you did a smaller miracle. That's not mashma. That wasn't what they missed out on. What they missed out on wasn't the bigger miracle. What they missed out on was the lack of push to get water out of the rock, the voluntary nature of the rock's compliance. That's what they missed out on. The voluntary nature of the rock complying with the Dvar Hashem. The willingness of the rock. But again, who makes such a Kal V'Chomer? That's the key. Thinking through that Chazal, who makes such a Kal V'Chomer? And the answer is a real adult. A real adult. Somebody who's taking, who's not leaving anybody else to take responsibility for his or her feelings. This is not somebody who says, whatever, I wasn't feeling so good today. I didn't learn so well. I wasn't feeling so well today, you know. I suppose if something really good would happen, I'd probably have a good day. You know, but, you know, I look in my bag here, and my wife didn't send me along any particular, you know, she didn't send me my treats. I don't feel so good. Who's taking responsibility for his feelings? Anybody but him. Anybody but him. Who is? He'll just pass the tick, you know, he'll just pass the tick to whomever is willing to take it. Just keep on passing the tick. An adult decides what he's going to feel. In this case, the specific feeling that we're looking for is the adult decides that I am going to be mizarez myself to Avodas Hashem. And then he finds ways to do it. Unlike the assumption that he waits for a miracle in order to do it. I think that's why Rashi in several places in the Torah makes reference to the same Chazal. Does it again in Dvarim. When it comes time for Moshe Rabbeinu to actually die, Rashi repeats the Chazal again. Because had you not done what you did, Klal Yisrael would have made the Kal V'Chomer. All of Klal Yisrael would have made a Kal V'Chomer like that a 10th grader could have knocked out? The answer is yes. They would have made it because they take responsibility.
If we're honestly looking for like a relationship with Hashem, why would we need a Kal V'Chomer? Even without the Kol Kumah, I should be able to deduce that I need to be obedient to Hashem. That's what I'm looking for.
A person is a creature of habit, and he always needs to bolster his service to Hashem. It's a very good point that you're raising. We are always, it's gravity, it's a gravitational pull. We are always going to be prone towards dulling our service of Hashem. That is the natural, that's part of, that's wired into the human being. So the dulling effect has to be countered all the time. That's what, you know, 100 visits to a Kodesh Baruch Hu a day.
Isn't that using an outside source to the echoes? When's that okay to
Yeah, if it was, then a lot of people would respond when they had to make a bracha. If it was an outside source, then it would be like, you know, every time it'd be like visiting the redwood forests or something, you know, it's just awesome. But some people are able to say brachos without getting excited. I've heard that there are some people that are able to say brachos and not get excited about it. And not here, obviously. But you know, but out there, it exists. That's a perfect example of where Chazal set up for the person, here's an opportunity for you to do that. Here's an opportunity for you to be mizariz yourself. We'll set up 100 brachos, 100 opportunities for you to be mizariz yourself in your avodas Hashem. But it's a very, and they backed off, and they didn't make any hocus pocus and no miracles. So people have to go around telling Baba stories. You know, telling spook stories about some Baba or somebody who, you know, who said poof and turned somebody into a tadpole. You know, but turning somebody into a frog is not, you know, oh, but that'll get me moving. I must share with you one incident that took place. I heard this from Rabbi Manny Nissel, who was present by Rav Moshe Shapiro when the story took place. The background of the story is that there was a fellow who became frum, first person to become frum since his great-grandfather. First person in the extended family to become frum since his great-grandfather. And some relative found some gobbledygook scribbles in an old box in their attic. And it looked like it was probably Hebrew gobbledygook scribbles. So this is now, there's a family member to pass that on to, right? So they pass the gobbledygook scribbles to this new, to this young Ben Torah, who was able to decipher that these were the notes of his great grandfather and his great grandfather's chavrusa, and the two names were on it. And these were the notes from their learning. They wrote down their ha'aras and their chedushim. They wrote down. He didn't know which one had written what. It was the two names, and lo and behold, he is named for this great grandfather. He carries the name of this great grandfather. So he had an idea. He had an idea. He started researching the life of this great grandfather, and he wrote a little book with an English side and a Hebrew side, and he wanted to give the book to every descendant of this great grandfather, all of the cousins, intermarried or not. All the he was going to make a book. On one side, it was these notes, where he printed the notes in Hebrew, the notes from these two B'nai Torah, and he put their names on the cover of the book. It's their notes. And on the other side, he wrote an English biography of their great-grandfather. So that's what he did, and he made enough copies for all of the relatives, and he was flying back to America and to distribute them. He was going to make sure they all had a copy. They should at least know, nothing else, they should at least know where they come from. They should know who their great-grandfather was. So on the flight, he's coming back to his seat after having stepped away from his seat, and the book was on the chair, on his seat, and he sees somebody standing there looking at his book. Okay. So he just stood at a distance a little bit until he realized that the guy's looking for him. So he appears. He says, "Where'd you get this book?" He said, "I actually published this book." He says, "That's my great-grandfather. That's my great-grandfather, the Chavrusa." And he was also named for his great-grandfather. And they've been learning together since that time. Again, first thing that they did was they went over these notes to learn those sugyas over again and to learn those sugyas properly so that they could go la'omek in those sugyas that their great-grandfathers had learned and close the circle. And they've been learning ever since. And somebody who heard this story came running into Rav Moshe Shapira, extremely animated about this story. One would say, quite understandably, quite a tale. And Rav Moshe Shapira looked up at him and he said, "Atavata lahochiach sheyesh borei olam? You came, I just wanted to check what you came for. You came to prove to me that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu? That was what the mission was? You came, you raced in here, like, quick. I got to tell you the story quickly. Because you need to prove to me that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam? So what's the difference between the one who came running into the room like a chicken without his head and Rav Moshe? What was the difference? The answer is that Rav Moshe was taking responsibility for his own feelings. So if he's taking responsibility for his own feelings, it means he is already looking for he's seeing this and more in every time he opens up a sefer. To the right page, to the wrong page. Oh, I see from here that the Ribbono Shel Olam giving me more schar and giving me an opportunity to turn to the right page. Oh, I see from here the Chesed Hashem that I opened up to the right page. So wait a second, if you can see that when you did open to the right page, and you can see it when you didn't open to the right page, so then what's the proof? The answer is, what do you mean? Look at that. It's an opportunity to serve him by overcoming the challenge of having opened up the sefer to the wrong place. But you told me that it's the chesed when you open up to the right place. So yeah, tremendous chesed when I open up to the right place. So then, what does the book prove? What does the book prove? Who's doing the work? Whose job is it to create my zeros to Avodas Hashem? Whose job is it? The book? Well, if it's the book's job, you got a very, very long wait, because Ribbono Shel Olam already a while ago stopped doing Nisim Gluyim on that level. That's already been a while. Nevuah, Nisim Gluyim, it's been a while. We went through an entire Beis Hamikdash without that. In other words, the idea of me, Lila Zarzani, is im ein ani li mili. I'm doing that. Am I really doing that? Am I really doing that? Or in the back of my mind, am I waiting for the events or people in my life to draw me out to the feelings that I know I'm supposed to have? Bless you. Who's doing the work? Am I unconsciously waiting for someone or something in my life to draw me out to the feelings that I know I need to have? So if I take responsibility for myself, then if anybody else helps me along, or anything helps me along, I'm enormously grateful. Because it's my job. If somebody lifts my load, and I know that it's completely my load, and somebody helps carry my suitcase, so I'm tremendously grateful, because I don't believe for a second that it was their job. It's my job. And somebody makes it easier for me. So, for example, when the trees bud, or the food is available, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so much easier for me. So Baruch Atah Hashem, He made it so much easier for me. My wife smiles, and she made my life so much easier. I have the job to do to love my wife. It's my job. It's not about her. It's my job. I need to create that feeling. She's made it easier for me. It's a wellspring of an overwhelming sense of Hakaras HaTov. But if it's pshat that, I would like to feel. I want to feel. I want to feel zeros to service of Hashem, and I want to feel warm emotion. I want to feel all these nice things. I want to feel loving towards another chaver. I want to feel all the wonderful things. I want to feel inspired to try to figure out pshat in the Gemara. And I want to feel all those things. And if the Rebbe razzle-dazzles me, if my wife razzle-dazzles me, if the Rabbanu Shalom razzle-dazzles me, if anybody razzle-dazzles me, so then I feel those things. But it's not a sense of Hakaras HaTov. It won't bring me to a bracha. It's not a sense of Hakaras HaTov. It's like, good, that's what I wanted to feel. I now feel what I wanted to feel. But not what I decided that I was going to feel. It's what I wanted to feel. How long does it last? Zeruz Acherim. V'zeruz Acherim, zeruz hu lefisha. The inspiration that comes from others is a zeruz lefisha. There's a part of me that wanted to come in here today and say this whole thing in a monotone. I was going to say it the whole thing today. I was going to speak in a soft, dull, absolutely non-narcotic sleep aid. Monotone. And those who were interested would inspire themselves and get something from it. And those who were not, so I would have an opportunity to help them sleep. And sleep well, you know. So hopefully they'll, you know, be more perky when they get home, having had a nice nap. So why talk so good? That's a nice hop, you know. So why didn't you do it? So why didn't you come in here and just, you know, flatline it? I had a bay move that line. I don't know if they did it on purpose. Those basic wet fish kind of. So why didn't I? There's a combination of answers. One part of the answer is because it's news to you. What I have to say is news to you. Somebody would have needed to first warn you, by the way, what's coming for the rest of your life is flatline. Your job is to draw and squeeze zeros and Torah from the flatline. So it would be nice to give you a little warning in advance. Consider yourselves warned. The second thing is, I consider it a chesed, to bear some of your load. Consider it to be a chesed. Why should I dafka, if I have a charisma, and I have an energy, and I have a capacity to speak, and I can speak in an inspiring way, so why is that not a chesed, to try to bear some of your load, and make it a little easier for you to be inspired by this chazal? The emes is that you need to really analyze that if you overdo it even a little bit, and you see, there's a lot riding on that particular moment. There's a great deal riding on that particular moment. All of the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael was riding on the moment. You could argue that all of the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael is riding on this moment as well, but it's a little harder to hear. I also do not have any tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to me, Ephraim Becker, you should know that all of Yeshivas Or Avram is ready to take over themselves. They're ready. And if you do any razzle-dazzle, if you do a floor show, I want you to know you will be taking away from their capacity to take over and rev themselves up. If I would have such a gilui, if I'd have such an insight, then in a chanami. Then there's a chazal that makes reference to the rock. Chazal says that there was a kal v'chomer. You know, that's, and everybody be sitting there and like soaking up every word. So my feeling is that there is a certain degree of a chesed. The chesed potentially creates a michshol. What's the potential michshol? What's that?
Shalachas.
People will rely on my zeros, and then we won the battle and lost the war. So we got a zeros lefisha, and everybody walks out saying wow, and then we lose everything, because tomorrow nobody's being bizarre himself anymore. Because what do they need tomorrow? It's addictive zeros.
Is that what you call hepatitis and
that? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's addictive. So what are you going to need tomorrow? Fryan Beck is already not enough of a floor show tomorrow. Tomorrow I need a bigger floor show and a better floor show, and I need now it's seen a tap dance and a floor show. You know, it's not enough that he just is a razzle-dazzle speaker. Now I need to do a tap dance, you know, and maybe a little song. And eventually you get to the point where you can't keep up with that addiction. I think it happens very quickly, in fact. You can't keep up with the addiction. And all the people are doing is just waiting for the next addictive fix of the next shear that revs them up, or the next smile from their wife, or the next whatever from the whomever. And they're listening to the news for like, you know, maybe there'll be a razzle-dazzle in the news. Oh, you see? Yad Hashem! Wait, and yesterday there was no Yad Hashem. Today you saw Yad Hashem because a bad guy got hit. You know, a bad guy had his comeuppance. Ah, the schar nonish. So yesterday there was no schar nonish, right? Today there's schar nonish because a bad guy got walloped. So if you say, "What a kiddush Hashem! Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for making my job easier." So that's using the news. It's common that a person's inclined to listening to the news. You know, if he doesn't have much inclination to ever eat, so then I suppose it's not a big deal to listen to the news. But it, you know, but that's the using the news question.
What happens if anything that's bad, that you can't, maybe you won't be able to derive anything positive out of it, so therefore you won't be able to see that Hashem. He lives totally confused, and so therefore you won't be able to turn around.
There's a time and a place for ignoring certain facts, for ignoring certain things in your life. They say that the parsha of Bilam, the whole parsha is without a break. The whole parsha of Bilam is written on the Torah without any breaks. And there's a parsha by Yaakov Avinu when he's going through the tzaros with Dina and with Yosef. So the whole parsha is also written without any breaks. Some of the great tzaddikim have explained Bilam didn't stop to think. Had he stopped to think, contemplate, consider, he would have stopped in his tracks. He just was so headstrong to go do that Avera that he just didn't stop to think. So what do you say about Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu knew that during these difficult times he must not stop to think. There's a time to know. Now you don't stop to think. Just serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't stop to think, because it's not going to make sense. Just go. And both of them, there's a lesson in both. There's a lesson you need to know when it is that you need to stop and think. Because maybe with the course that I'm on is the wrong course. But there's also a lesson to be learned that sometimes in very, very confusing times, you can stop and say, why is this happening to us? And all that you've got to know, all this is going to lead me to is a sense of confusion. It's not going to help me in my Avodas Hashem. The litmus test for everything is what will help me in my Avodas Hashem. And if it's not going to help me in my Avodas Hashem to stop and contemplate because I'm not going to get any answers out of this, it's too confusing for me, zoom. No stops in the parsha. It's a very powerful lesson. Everything is tested on one litmus test. What helps me in my agenda in serving Hashem? If it helps, use it. If it doesn't help, cruise through it. Everything, because again, the determinant is not the news or the event or the item or the person. The determinant is not those things that are external to me. The determinant is how do I use those things that are external to me to help me with my mission. I got a job to do. If I have a job to do, I look for resources. Question.
You look at myself and I realize I'm feeling down now, and now I don't have it within me to serve Hashem. So I'm going to speak to Rav Sher.
Oh, who told you to go speak to Rav Sher?
So I'm saying, when is it allowed to get?
It's always allowed. It's always allowed. When I feel as though I'm down and I need a little bit of lift, I go eat my kid's neck. Now my granddaughter's. You know, I go nibble on a neck. Because that gives me a boost. But if the neck is not available, I have to give myself a boost another way. And if nobody and nothing's available, that means I need to give myself a boost without anything and anybody. But if it's available, then go get an ice cream. But again, it's the question of who's doing the work. Am I using the ice cream to put myself back into the headspace that I've chosen to have? Or am I down in the dumps and hoping somehow that the ice cream will do the trick? What do you mean, hoping the ice cream will do the trick? What's the ice cream got to do with this? Well, you just said that it was a nice idea to go get an ice cream. Well, what do you believe it or not believe it? The answer is, if you're in the driver's seat, then whatever you use, whatever is available, and in fact, if there's something available and you didn't use it, you're probably going to have to answer for that. How come you remained in the doldrums when there was something right there, like an ice cream, and you didn't use it? How come you didn't use it? No, because I want it to be a parush. I want it to be a parush. I want to be indulging in this world. So Rav Hashem is going to say, excuse me, parush on whose cheshbon? On the cheshbon of your Avodas Hashem. That you were a parush on the cheshbon of your Avodas Hashem. That's not smart. That's not smart. Because I'm supposed to take responsibility for my mission and say, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into the world a cup of cold water. And I can use that to put myself into the headspace that I need, that I'm mechuyev to. And now I'll make a bracha. Now I'll make a bracha like a mensch. Because now it's not a question of, well, what's the water doing? The water's not, you know, it's just water. What do you mean? It's for me. Yes.
At which point do you say somebody's helping to carry your load, and at which point do you say somebody's helping to carry you? How many Hashkafa Pratish stories do you need to hear a day before you say, they're helping me with these stories, or now these stories are helping me, are carrying me and freeing me from my need to mizarez myself?
I think that's an expression in English. The proof is in the pudding. I don't know what the expression means. But it's a lovely expression. I have no clue as to what it means. I don't know what pudding is. Proof is in the pudding. What's that?
Pudding is dessert.
It's dessert. So the proof is in the pudding. I'm clueless, but I know the expression is used.
The result.
The result. Yeah, but you use the word pudding.
It's not in the baking. Yeah, it's how you bake it.
Come out. How well does it come out? Yeah. What's that?
Proof in the pudding is in the eating.
In the eating.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll believe you. You know, everything in this story is about what happens to work for me. In other words, if I'm being grateful for all of the stories that are coming my way, as opposed to becoming dependent on them, that's something that I can make a determination about.
So if you hear a hashkafa practice story, what do you say? Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
So what would be the response if I'm using that within its own right?
Wow. You mean there's really, you know, I sometimes have my reaction to some of these stories is, boy, I'll tell you, if I didn't know better, I'd be a believer.
Thank you rather than wow.
Yeah. The wow says, and you know, also the urgency to sort of tell it to somebody else. You always have to check for that.
That's a bad thought.
Well, it usually is an indication that the story is carrying more than, you know, you're not doing it, the story is carrying
you.
When does choice fit into acceptance? There's a certain point where we've discussed before the level of real.
Good, excellent.
How do I get out of real to start making choices?
This really is the next step. Any change process involves awareness, acceptance, choice, and maintenance. Awareness is I have to become aware of what I am and who I am. Acceptance is I need to accept that that's the way I'm always going to be. That's who I am. Choice is saying, what have I chosen? What direction have I chosen? From where I am, towards where I know I need to be, what direction have I chosen? What are my values? What do I hold? What should I be feeling? It's the next step. From awareness and acceptance, we move to choice. And this is what choice is about. Choice is saying, this is my enterprise. This business is my business. I own the business. I run the business. All of the capital is my capital in the business. And I've chosen to run the business like this. This is where I've chosen to point the business. But Rav Sher is correct in reminding us that this has to be preceded by I know who I am. I must know who I am and have accepted who I am. Because otherwise I'm going to be making choices that have no relevance to me. I'm going to be making choices based on the ideal, which have no relevance to where I'm supposed to be, where I am, and where I'm going. So it's a good grounding reminder. So wait a second. Are the choices that you're making, are they your own, and are they relevant to who you are? So I think that the question of being mezaris ourselves to Avodas Hashem is, you know, I think it doesn't take a lot of awareness and acceptance to recognize that we all need that. And your point was very well taken there. Now, some people assume that you kind of, if you really, really whip yourself going, then you can get into orbit. And when you get into orbit, you're about 350 kilometers off the ground, and you just stay there in orbit. And those are the guys who just, you know, whip themselves up into a frenzy in the hopes that they kind of can be over the Hashem for the rest of their lives without constant zeros. To the best of my knowledge, there's nobody on the planet ever been successful in doing that. All that does is makes the bump when you hit the ground a little bit harder. That's all it does. You know, you got to have good padding when you try to do a stunt like that. Because you're going to hit the ground just means you're going to hit the ground harder. Zeros is a constant thing. How will I get zeros? Apparently I'm going to have to get zeros by always having... Oh no, I choose to put myself in the company of those whose company is mezaris me. Oh, very good. That could be go two ways, right? One is I become dependent on my chevra, and as soon as you pull the guy out of the yeshiva, what happens to him? Falls on his bump. Why? Because he never took responsibility for himself. See, what do you mean? He was a wonderful Eved Hashem. So wait a second. He was an Eved Hashem because he was walking around on crutches. You pulled the crutches out and the guy fell on his nose. If the other fellow, though, who's doing exactly the same thing, says, I know where I need to go. And I know that what works for me is the chevra of others who are similarly working to grow. And he kisses the feet of the people in his chabura because he's so grateful because their presence helps him. Your presence helps me in what I need to do without you. It's what I need to do without your presence. And your presence helps me. So you walk around kissing the hand of the people in your chabura because they're helping me with my job. If they weren't there, I'd be sad. But it wouldn't change anything in terms of my job. It just means now maybe my job is a little bit harder because I have to carry it all myself. Nothing changed. It was my job before and it's my job now. The difference is that when he was here, he helped me. And now when he leaves, I miss him. I miss him because his presence was an assist to me as opposed to, you know, this guy, he's just not a good guy. This guy's not a good guy. What do you mean he's not a good guy? Because if he would be a little more into it, it'd be better for everybody. What are you saying? What's sitting behind that?
expected to.
Yeah, what do you leave it with for me? Will you leave the job for me? What about him taking his part? He should be the one making me feel good about my learning. And he's not. He's dragging me down. What is him? He's dragging you down? Well, what are you, where's your role in this? What's your story? What do you mean, what's my story? I'm telling you about him. So, again, it's very delicate because you can't tell somebody else to take responsibility because I'm too busy trying to figure out how to take responsibility myself. So you can't tell somebody else to take responsibility. But we all need to be thinking about taking responsibility. That's the, who makes the kal v'chomer about the rock? Somebody who already has decided in advance. When I come home today, sweetheart, when I come home today, I'm going to come home with the zeros about my avodas Hashem. Tells his wife before he leaves, I'm going to come home. Moshe Rabbeinu called us together about the water. I'm going to come home today with the zeros about avodas Hashem. What's the zeros going to be? I don't know. I'm going to go find out. Sees the rock? This is all Kali's from. Sees the rock? Oh, got it. That's the zeros. That's a responsible person. That's a person who you and I can rely on, a person like that. He'll go far. And he'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he'll continue to grow in his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I don't have to always lose sleep worrying about this guy. What's going to be if nobody revs him up? What do you mean, what's going to be if nobody revs him up? If nobody revs him up, he'll rev himself up. Because the only thing he's doing with the people around him who are revving him up is using them and thanking them for the fact that they're making his job lighter. But you can sleep, you can sleep well. And with the other guy, you can't sleep at night. What's going to be with this guy? The only thing that's holding him together is the Zman. He's going to go to Ben Zman and he's going to unravel. Only thing that's holding him together is the fact that there's a yeshiva going on during the Zman. I can't let the guy go home during Ben Zman. Why can't you let the guy go home during Ben Zman? Because he hasn't shown me one stitch of responsibility for his own feelings, actions, and thoughts. He's only being held together by the external factors. We're revving him up. So what am I going to do with him, Taka, for Ben Zman? It's like a scary thing. How do you send a guy like that for Ben Zmanim? A Rebbe who has a Talmud like that just doesn't sleep all Ben Zmanim. Pasha doesn't sleep. How can he sleep? A Rebbe who sees a Talmud who is taking personal responsibility and is using the environment in order to lighten his load so that he can use it as a building block to even go further in his Avodas Hashem. So you sleep at night. What's he going to do during Ben Zmanim? He'll go by during Ben Zmanim. Either won't be the yeshiva. Yeah, but the yeshiva needs to have an opportunity to refresh and to regroup and to reorganize. But that's not the... What's going to be with this guy? It's going to be wonderful. What do you mean it's going to be with this guy? He's going to be grabbing all sorts of opportunities in the course of Ben Zmanim in order to be able to grow. I know it because I see him doing that all the time. Not because... That's just a shot that he's a masmi that he's always sitting there learning. He's responsible for his own feelings of his zrizus in Avodas Hashem. If you know a guy is responsible for his own feelings of zrizus, you sleep well at night. As a matter of fact, you do more than sleep well at night. When you know such a person, you feel such a desire to want to, how can I help? How can I help? Because somebody is taking responsibility for themselves, you just have a natural desire. If you have any feeling of Yirat Shemayim at all, how can I help you? I see that you're bearing your responsibility to be Mezariz yourself, I want to be of assistance. Chover ani L'chol asher yireucha, David HaMelech says. I'm a friend, I'm a support, I'm an ally to anyone who's taking responsibility for their Yirat Shemayim, for being Mezariz themselves. Chover ani L'chol asher yireucha. Wherever David HaMelech heard about somebody who was taking responsibility to try to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all David HaMelech wanted to do is, please, I want to be your friend. How can I help? Chover ani.
Why is it that
The rock will do the job. The scream will do the job. The stick will do the job. The screaming will do the job. That puts a person into a passive mode.
So they were on that brink level.
Yeah, the truth of the matter is that's apropos to the question. Maybe I should have walked in here and just said it in a monotone, because maybe I'm doing too much, relying too much on my own charisma and my own talent in speaking to you guys in a way that perhaps some of you didn't need all of that. And if you didn't need all of that, then what did I just do? Perhaps I caused an addiction. Inadvertently, perhaps. And maybe I won't get nailed because, it wasn't such a horrible... Kavana, but wait a second, but you knew about the shmooze, how come you didn't, why didn't you back off? Maybe there were some people there that you kind of addicted them a little bit. You gave them a little bit too much, and now they're sitting there waiting for the next round, and, you know, what's the next show? And you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to lose sleep over that. Yeah?
So what event is the tonic in that? Which event actually took place that did the job that was initially intended?
If that job had been done, we'd today be in the Gula.
But which, it wasn't done, so was the, did anything else happen after that, and that's why they, nothing else?
2,000 years of Gulas to try to make up for that moment. I believe that most of the work was done by Auschwitz. Those people who can put on blinders and say, Af al pi chein, I'll see in this Zirus to Avodas Hashem. But look, it could be happening right now with events that are going on in Eretz Yisrael right now. That seems so opposite of anything that we would consider to be a step towards Gula. Anything but a step towards Gula. So the person who's waiting to be inspired sits there with the question marks. What's going to be? How could it be? What's going to be? How could it happen? What's going to be? Person who already has determined which way he's going, so he's either not stopping to think because it's not a time to stop and think, or he's adaraba, he's inspiring himself. Look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me the opportunity. We can leverage in a times like this, we can leverage a moment of emuna in Hashem more than could have happened in Doros, because we have leverage now, because everybody in the world is so far away from emuna b'Hashem that today the slightest bit of emuna b'Hashem is an enormous leverage. Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me the opportunity to leverage my belief in you. Tiny belief, but look at against the backdrop of the world that we're looking at, my belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome. That could be exciting. Take care, Rabosai. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. I understand acceptance to a certain degree, and I understand the need to have this taking responsibility. I don't understand how you get from someone who has acceptance but no taking responsibility to someone who at least has some degree of taking responsibility. I just don't understand the process to get from one to the other.
Exploring one's own values. What have I learned? What do I hold is true? What do I hold is right? And comparing that to where I am right now so that I can start to make some choices about how to move forward.
How do I make choices, though?
Hmm?
How do I make choices?
So the process of making choices is the process of looking at myself with acceptance and studying my own values deeply. You have to stop and think in order to make choices. What do I really hold to be the right way to live? What do I hold to be the right way to move forward? What do I hold is the right way to live? How do I hold that a person should be living his life? Shkreya Chabosa.